Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone, live from Winnipeg, and we are live from FanFest as the doors just opening up to FanFest. The doors just opening up to the team parties at the RBC Convention Center as, here we go. It's party time in Winnipeg for the 112th Grey Cup. And he's always ready to have a night out. Dave Naylor of TSN, our CFL insider here on the Green Zone with the latest on the CFL buzz. Let's start with the biggest story of the week, Dave, which is Davis Alexander's hamstring. They have a specialist with him working with this hamstring. Do you think he's going to be able to finish the game on Sunday?
I got two questions. One is, what happens when he hits go, right, from the pocket? And I would say that, you know, Davis Alexander's ability to time when to leave the pocket and what to do when he leaves the pocket is among his greatest skills. In fact, I remember I had a conversation with Anthony Calvillo earlier this season about how, you know, when Davis was a backup, they just drilled him on that. They would watch tape from practice or, you know, games, and anytime he saw an instance where Davis left the pocket at the wrong time, he would show him the tape and say, tell me why you left the pocket. That's a big part of his game. So that's the first question. Can he hit go and go? And then the second one for me is, is he going to be able to finish the game? I think they're both very open questions. And there's no doubt at all that Davis Alexander would not be playing in this game. You know, somebody brought this up to me last night at the media party that, you know, if this was Davis Alexander, you know, maybe being backed up by Cody Fajardo, the way he played for Montreal as opposed to McLeod Bethel-Thompson, maybe Cody Fajardo is the starting quarterback in this game, and we'll see. So I'm like everybody else in the dark on this one, but we're going to be watching him extremely closely, both, you know, for his health and the style of play that he's able to manage during the early part of that game.
Well, I was watching TSN today, and there was a conversation about practice and seeing him in practice, and there was some surprise at his mobility in practice. So I don't know what that says about his possibility of playing or length of time for the weekend, but anyway, I thought I'd say that out loud.
Yeah, I think it's about game speed, though, right? I mean, we all know there's practice speed and there's game speed and all that, so we'll see. Guys, you know how you...
Somebody else is just okay.
Gotcha. So you guys know me as the transportation guy, right? From last week. Remember the Uber thing in my driveway and all that ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely.
Blah.
Yeah.
So I came out here at 3:30, 39 minutes ago, to try to get a cab or an Uber to my next destination, where I have to make an appearance at 4:30, and I'm still waiting. So you guys are going to hear me get into another Uber cab, hopefully at some point.
This is the only way we want to talk to you moving forward.
Yeah.
I think.
Oh, yeah,
Taylor.
Yeah, it's.
By the way, that was a good gathering last night. That was a cool place to host it. Next time, you should do it in Winnipeg.
The location was a bit out of the way. I gotta admit, and but I think, you know, beyond that, everybody's got an Uber. Everybody got home all right. Yeah, it was an outstanding. Outstanding opportunity.
Yeah, it was. If you're in Winnipeg, Bell's Kitchen and Music Hall,
great
the
spot.
Barbecue there. And I found out, I didn't know, I missed this. It's a no tip restaurant. I did not know that. So because I tried to, the waitresses or the bartenders at the end of the night, I was like, "Hey, great job tonight," and they're like, "Nope. What's a no tip place?" I'm like, what? Really? I couldn't believe it. So
that's weird.
There you go. A little plug for.
How do they get staff?
I don't. They pay well. They treat them well. I don't know, but it's a good joint. Good barbecue. But Dave, you were grinding yesterday. I know you were on the latest on Mike O'Shea, Toronto, Winnipeg. Then Hamilton comes out of nowhere. What's going on with Mike O'Shea?
I think Mike O'Shea has a lot of power right now. Like, I think the Toronto Argonauts very much want him. From my understanding, their meetings in Toronto went well. They talked about all kinds of possibilities in terms of how this might work, you know, what responsibilities or titles O'Shea might take or what he might want, what he would need around him, how they would build out a personnel department around him. And I think ultimately it just gets to the point where Mike O'Shea has to tell the Toronto Argonauts what he wants. And I think if he does that and he's willing to come, they're going to cut to suit to try to land him. Now, the Hamilton thing is obviously a lot more curious because unlike a lot of coaches who really aspire to do the personnel side and have full control and, you know, have the GM title, I don't know that that's Mike O'Shea. In fact, I think very much it's not Mike O'Shea. And so, you know, why are they talking to him? Because they have a coach under contract for next season in Scott Milanovich. Well, they also have a general manager opening, and my understanding is that when it comes to the general manager opening, they sometimes, and the Ticats have done this before, they've gotten creative. You know, they've had sort of a by committee. They've had people that have had different titles and all that, and that they wanted to talk to O'Shea to just see whether there might be a role for them, for him and their organization beyond head coaching. Now, that's, you know, I've sources in Hamilton told me today they are committed to Scott Milanovich being their head coach in 2026. So if that's true and they're talking to Mike O'Shea, I don't know what role that would be. I don't know that they know what role that would be. They said they're talking to a lot of people. But, I mean, the Hamilton thing on the surface doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Don't really see how that would fit if Scott Milanovich is going to be the head coach. But I certainly think the Toronto Argonauts have him as number one on their list. And number two, I think they have is Kent Austin. And number three, I think, would be Orlando Steinauer, who they cannot speak to until Sunday because the Ticats were eliminated last Saturday.
When you're making a big decision like this, like what's facing Mike O'Shea right now, I know I do it, and I'm guessing a lot of people do it. You put a list of pros and cons together. What do you think is at the top of his pros con for you know, staying or going?
I would say probably who he's going to be working with and who is around him. Those are the things that I think would be probably priority number one.
Okay.
I'm interested in seeing.
I think those are the things. Like, and I think that comes into the whole deal is, you know, like, because Mike's not going to be the personnel guy, and I don't necessarily know that he has sort of the, you know, the ideas of who he would necessarily want, necessarily, besides maybe Danny McManus, right, who, to my understanding, the Argonauts have not asked for permission to speak to yet. The Ticats have asked for permission to speak to him for their general manager's job. But as of now, there has been no request from the Argonauts to speak to Danny McManus. So I think the biggest thing is, I think there's some logistical stuff, right? Like, you know, like all of, like, what, understanding what the ownership situation is in Toronto, what their commitment to the franchise is, getting, you know, finding out, you know, learning what their practice is like. It's not going to be like Winnipeg where you have this huge facility, you know, all to yourself. It's going to be very, very different. So I think those things kind of play into those. But ultimately, I think it's who you're working with, who's doing personnel, who's finding players, and who are you answering to. Those are probably the things that are the most important. And I think those are the things that have been left to try to figure out.
Our Green Zone insider from the CFL on TSN is Dave Naylor. We'll see if he can find an Uber in the commercial break. And we'll be back with Dave. More on the Grey Cup and more on what to expect tomorrow. The State of the League address from Stuart Johnston hasn't really faced the media since that major news conference when they announced the rule changes in 2026 and 2027. More with Dave Naylor next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with our CFL on TSN Green Zone insider, Dave Naylor. It's during 112th Grey Cup week. We're live from Fan Fest that just opened up. You can find us on Radio Row. As Dave, we have a very Locker and I just did the kicking competition here at Fan Fest. Of course, a lot of talk about the kickers in Saskatchewan this year. One of us made the field goal. One of us missed it. Any predictions, Dave, on which was which, Locker and I, on the field goal competition?
I'm going to say Locker because I met him in person this week. He's tall. He's got lots of leverage. I'm going to say he made the field goal, Jamie, and you did.
Nobody believes in me, Locker.
Yeah.
Nobody believes in me.
It was Jamie.
Wow.
Yeah. I got it.
We put it out to the listeners,
I got
Dave.
It about 3 feet off the ground.
We put it out to the listeners, Dave, and one person picked me and a dozen others picked Locker. Producer Scott picked Locker. You pick Locker, and I'm the one who made the kick.
I'm the more athletic-looking individual.
And I'm the more athletic individual.
Maybe I should have thought, though, the kickers are usually smaller guys. Yeah, exactly.
And he had hush puppies on. That should be against the rules. It's clearly a footwear that benefits kicking.
Catchers. All right, we're talking a lot about.
I got a bit of a Davis Alexander update for you guys on this. So this
what do you got?
Texted this to me like 30 seconds ago. He said, Alexander told me his hamstring protocol today was linear, running back and forward. Said he bleeping lit it up. So there you go. Good.
Okay. It was closed practice, so we'll take his word for it, I guess.
Yes. By the way, there are a couple people that want us to play a bit of cash cab with you.
Yeah.
So what is the name of the city that the superhero Batman lives in?
Gotham.
There you go. He didn't even need to phone a friend.
Oh, he'd be awesome at cash cab. That was quick. There we go.
That was quick. You won $50.
Okay, Dave. It's Stuart Johnston time tomorrow morning.
Yes.
What's coming? Anything more coming? Or is this just going to be a cut and dry, hey, this is how the league's doing, and open it up to questions?
I will be surprised if Stuart Johnston doesn't drop some news tomorrow. You know, I think, as you know, he's a guy who likes to do things quickly, likes to, you know, create the anticipation that things are happening. And I would be very surprised if there isn't some news dropped at the podium from his news conference. And, you know, look, this is very different because usually a commissioner who's been on the job, you know, 6-7 months, his first State of the League address is going to be pretty gentle because he's, you know, he's been learning, he's been coming up with ideas, he's going to give you a preview of his vision for the league. But, like, this one, you know, Stuart Johnson is off to the races, you know, as you said, the news that he dropped in September with the rule change. I think there's going to be a lot of challenging questions about that. I think I wouldn't be surprised if he gets asked the four down question again, which, you know, back in September, he was asked about that and, you know, refused to take four downs off the table. I wouldn't be surprised if that gets asked again. So, you know, and I think there's going to be a more aggressive line of questioning just because there's just been so much happen. And I think there will be a lot of questions, I think, about the thin edge of the wedge. And here's what I mean by that. A lot of people I speak to about this are fine with what's been done. And they actually even like it. But they're nervous that this is the thin edge of the wedge. That, like, this is the first wave of changes for the game. And there's another wave coming. And then ultimately, you know, we're going to get to a game that looks not much, very much like Canadian football. I actually don't think that's the case. And, you know, I don't think Stuart Johnson's agenda is to, you know, turn the game into the National Football League or anything like that. But I think there's going to be a lot of questions about, you know, what else is coming, you know, based on what happened this fall.
So at your event last night, I had a brief encounter with Stu, and he, I told him, I said, I think a lot of people are waiting for you to drop more news. And he said, well, that could happen. And he didn't even, there was zero hesitation in that, and it was early on in the night. It wasn't like it was not that you're going to have a 15 beer conversation with Stu Johnston.
Stu wasn't there very long.
Yeah, exactly.
He knows better.
But I was surprised at his openness to have a conversation about the fact that he did, and about all of the turmoil that surrounded the aftermath of it. He is a very open guy. You can like him or dislike him about what he did and the announcements that he made a couple of months back. But I got a really good sense that he's pretty steadfast in what he wants to do, and he's going to move forward. Is that wrong?
Well, I don't think you're wrong at all. And, you know, there's been some criticism about, you know, his lack of transparency or things like this. And I would kind of go the other direction. Like, obviously the rule stuff dropped out of the sky, okay? And when fans feel like they didn't know it was coming, the GMs didn't know it was coming till the day of. The coaches didn't know. The players didn't know. It was basically presidents and governors. And I know a lot of people have a problem with that, say that's not the way things should be done. It should go through a protocol. It should be all this. And we touched on this before. There's no way those rule changes ever get done if they've got to go through all those hoops and process. It just doesn't happen. If you follow the history of the league, there's no chance. So he did it the only way he knew he could get it done. But as for, like, his transparency, listen to him that day in September. He said, we're not slowing down. We're doing things. We're going to examine every aspect of this league and ask the question, is there a better way we could be doing this? And if the answer for why we do it the way we do it
it's because we've always done it that way, I'm going to challenge that. I mean, I don't know how much more transparent you could be about, you know, your vision. And, you know, you're right. I'm glad, Locker, you got a chance to talk to him because, you know, obviously we at TSN have a gigantic advantage when it comes to trying to size up Stuart Johnson because he was our boss for 17 years. And the guy you met last night is the guy that we all know. And look, the broadcast business is probably not full of places where people really respect and like their boss. But I can tell you, in Stuart Johnson's case at TSN, you know, that was basically universal. So I think when
I don't know what you're talking about. We love our bosses.
Yes, our bosses are great.
Our bosses are awesome.
Of course, except
they sent us to Grey Cup.
Of course, absolutely. But I think I think people will warm to Stuart the more they get to know him, and basically they know him from his introductory news conference, and they know him from the rule drop, right? So I will be surprised if he doesn't come off, you know, pretty well tomorrow, even, you know, in the face of some people who are unhappy with what he's done so far.
Well, I can't wait to share breakfast with Dave Naylor and grill the commissioner tomorrow morning. Dave, always appreciate your time. Thanks for it.
Hey, guys, thanks for tolerating my transportation hijinks.
No, that's fine. This is great. So it's now
we'll
a trend.
Take you any way you can get. Any way we can get you, brother.
Here on the Green Zone. Yeah. It's the trials and tribulations. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles and Ubers with Dave
Naylor.
Jamie and Locker with you live from Winnipeg. It's Grey Cup 112, the Riders against the Montreal Alouettes. And, of course, we have you covered all week and weekend long, all the way through game day on Sunday.
Saturday show, too. We're going to be doing a special edition of the Green Zone Saturday 2 till 5 o'clock. I have a question for you. You only get to pick one thing he's going to announce. Stuart Johnston. New commissioner of the CFL, has already showed that he is not scared about making changes. What do you think he's going to do? I got mine.
Well, they announced a new partnership today with Football Canada, running junior programs and stuff like that. I'm not sure. I think it's just going to highlight the positivity of the CFL. Revenues are up again. Attendance is climbing. Entertaining games. I think he's going to highlight the positive. What do you think?
I think he's going to drop another rule change.
He wouldn't dare.
I think he is. I think he's going to put a bullet in ratio.
That would be a mistake on Grey Cup Friday. That would be a gigantic mistake.
And he's not going to...
The Canadians...
I should say
the
this.
Canadian receivers on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders...
He's going to clean it up.
...the game and go, you know what?
He's going to clean it up.
We're getting rid of starting Canadians and all that. No.
I think he's going to clean it up. I think he's going to say, you need to have a roster with this many Canadians on it. Now go play.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see. But tomorrow, it is Stuart Johnston's State of the League address with the media. And I know it's not on the schedule because it is apparently now an RSVP event with the fans of the Canadian Football League with Stuart Johnston. It used to be a free-for-all. You'd wait outside the ballroom. You'd get in there. You could stand up and raise your hand and ask the commissioner a question. That's not happening this year. But there is, for those who are Grey Cup ticket holders, you're allowed to RSVP for a meet and greet. It might already be full. I think they're eliminated to 150 people. And it's going to be, there's going to be like a master of ceremony, like an MC.
Okay. Somebody controlling it.
Controlled environment for Stuart Johnston rather than
Naylor?
What it used to be. I don't know who's going to do it. Might be like Kate Burness or someone like that.
Oh, okay.
From
the
CFL
She's
on
great.
TSN. So we'll
see.
Do
we have more on Ryderville? Because there was still the question mark about
the tickets for the fans to get in. It's sold out. It's sold out weeks ago, and that's what I've told. And I've been told, and there's no capacity to sell more. So you have capacity at whatever it is over there. Let's just pick a number. 8,000 people, right? So they sold 8,000 passes.
So they sold 8,000 passes to everyone in...
So everything at the RBC Convention Center where Ryderville is, and if you're coming in, you're probably like, oh, I got to get to Ryderville. Because before, you just wait in line and you'd pay 20 bucks at the door or 40 bucks to get into the team parties. And if it's full, it's full. But if they're not capacity, but they sold out of party passes. But what if half the people don't go on Thursday night?
Yeah, and the party,
I don't understand.
The party passes in the past, were they segregated to different? You could go to
different
one tent.
They were all in different areas.
Yeah.
Now it's all they've put them all. They want them all together in one spot, so you don't have to go all over the city, which some people also don't like. They'd rather just jump around and walk down the street, and other business owners love it because they're walking by their bar and, hey, let's jump in here for a quick bite and stuff like that. Instead, it's all in one place. Now, of course, when it's here in 2027, it's going to be all in one place, but the riders have so much room that they, what they should do is, what is the capacity of each place?
And sell tickets for that.
This is 2,000. This one's 2,000. This one's 2,000. This one's 4,000. And this one's 4,000. So your capacity is actually 10,000 or whatever it is. Because when everybody's in there and one room's full, they go, like, Stamp. I guess the Stamps House is next to the Ryderville. Stamps House is pumped because the people that have to be in the line to get into Ryderville will go, well, let's just go to Stamps House and grab
get a beverage there,
right?
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of questions already on the text line today. Why do we get passes? I can't get passes. Facebook Marketplace, things like that. Maybe other people are selling them, is the place to find them.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't sound like everybody's pushing the committee to go, let's get more. And they're not sure they can do that. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's a mistake.
I hope it's not a mistake. I hope that everybody's showing up and it is full and people are having a good time. Yes, some people are going to be left out in the cold, but that happens at these things
anyway.
Anyways, right? So
is it a mismanagement on the part of this Grey Cup festival organization, though?
I don't know if it's them or the RBC Convention Center.
It might be the building, right?
Yeah.
It might not be. Yeah, because, we've been getting people reaching out to us. Even on social media, I'm like, I don't know what to say. I'm sorry, right? Because people are coming down. They want to
go to Ryderville. Absolutely. You just found out less than 4 days ago the Riders are in this game, and they want to go hang out with Rider Nation in Ryderville, as do I. Like, I'm going, but... But I want that place packed.
Yeah.
Because I've been to those, like, 09 Grey Cup in Calgary, 2010 Grey Cup in Edmonton, 07 in Toronto. You're going to hear from Kerry Joseph. The Sea of Green arrived and owned it.
Yeah.
And because they sold these out months ago and without, buy a pass at the door, apparently is not a thing. I'm interested to see what it looks like. I hope it looks better than what a lot of people are speculating is what's going to happen, which is there's going to be no shows tonight because it's Thursday night. And then there's going to be a lineup outside. Nobody can get in, even though they're not at capacity. So we'll see how they handle that. Might be some angry Rider fans. We should find a Green Zone bar to hang out in for the spillover Ryderville crowd. Maybe there is one. Maybe there'll just be an impromptu Ryderville at a local establishment down the street.
When I lived here, I spent quite a bit of time, probably an unhealthy amount of time, at Shannon's, which is close to RBC. Shannon's pub. And it's green. Why don't we call it right now?
See it at Shannon's, Ryderville.
We got people listening here in Winnipeg. There's the app.
Head over.
Great little Irish pub.
Ryderville, Rider Nation, you want to be together when your team's in a Grey Cup. But I hope you have a party, and I hope it's fun, and I hope you...
I'm going tonight. You're going to the awards.
I'm going to the awards. It's open till 1 a.m. When I show up, you're probably going to be in bed. Let's just book that.
What time does it open? Ryderville.
It just opened 45 minutes ago.
4 o'clock, okay.
45 minutes ago, all the team parties are now open. They close at 1 a.m. each and every night. I think they
open every night, right?
Noon. I think they open at noon Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
For the team parties.
And I remember the breakfast being a big thing, too.
Well, which one? The Stamps will have a pancake breakfast. The Spirit of Edmonton does their big with the sluice juice.
Yeah. I went to one of those.
Yeah, and how was your liver after that one?
Well, I'm trying to remember.
Juice will get you.
Yeah,
and it's early in the morning too. It's great time at Grey Cup. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. It's awards night. Britton Gray was able to chat with Jermarcus Hardrick, who is up for Offensive Lineman of the Year. That's coming up next. Plus, we heard from Kerry Joseph. You want to hear this interview. Just reminiscing with KJ about the 2007 Grey Cup and what it meant to him to win one for you, Rider Nation. That's all ahead here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. But I'll see if I can use it for the weekend. Each and every day here in Winnipeg, we've set Locker on the Loose. A new feature you can find on our socials, Jamie Nye, the Sports Guy Facebook page, at GreenZoneSK on TikTok, Instagram.
We're even on the old TikToker.
Apparently. And today, Locker had a skill testing question for Winnipeggers, but also he had a run-in with a bomber mannequin.
Locker from the Green Zone. Today we're at Fan Fest, and I'm going to wander around the University of Winnipeg today to find out how much Winnipeg and Manitoba know about their neighbors to the west of them, Saskatchewan. What do you have to say for yourself not being in the Grey Cup this year, my friend? So I thought, pretty quiet.
Locker on the Loose.
I'm at FanFest here. What's your name?
Ian.
What's a bunny hug?
Oh, it's a sweater.
It's a hoodie. Yeah. There you go. You knew.
Are you guys from Winnipeg?
Yep.
Okay. What's a bunny hug?
Not a clue.
Don't want to know.
Now, I see you got the W on the gear here. Linda, we're trying to find out how much Manitoba knows about Saskatchewan. Do you know what a bunny hug is?
Yes, it's a hoodie.
There you go. Milton, we're trying to find out how much Winnipeg knows about their neighbor.
Great.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
What's a bunny hug?
Who?
A bunny hug.
Bunny hug, no idea, buddy.
Anybody here know, any of these Blue Bomber fans know what a bunny hug is?
Not a clue.
It's a hoodie. That's what we call a hoodie. There you go.
Thanks.
Enjoy the game. Are you going to the game?
You bet.
All right.
And we're cheering for Saskatchewan.
Are you cheering for Saskatchewan?
It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard, but we're going to do it.
I've got Ryan from Winnipeg with me. I got a quick question for you.
Yeah.
What's a bunny hug?
It's a sweater.
Yeah, you knew. I got Ian.
Yep.
And Jordan with me. How are you guys friends?
We met at last year's
Grey Cup.
Okay, awesome. Now, I have a quick question. We're trying to find out how much Manitoba knows about Saskatchewan. Don't help him, Jordan. What's a bunny hug?
Hoodie.
Oh, he knows. He knows. Hi, guys. Where are you from?
Canada.
Okay. All right. You're here for Fan Fest?
Yeah.
All right. It looks like it's a lot of fun in there. I have a question for you guys. Do you know what a bunny hug is?
No.
It's a hoodie. That's what we call a hoodie in Saskatchewan. You guys, can I get you guys to say, let's go Riders?
No!
Ran into a whole classroom of kids in FanFest, so. And the teachers were like, doing the thumbs down. Don't do it! Don't do it! Don't listen to that crazy guy.
Well, let's go Riders. No! No! Not doing that. Not doing that at all.
Yeah.
So Locker on the Loose.
People are in a really good mood here. It was a lot of fun wandering around FanFest today. I'm seeing jerseys from every city, every CFL city in the country. Fantastic.
How's it looking out there, by the way? I haven't looked outside where the street festival
there was
is
this
going.
One thing. Did you see the silent dance party?
No.
Yeah, I had the same response because I was trying to get gear up to the Radio Row. Jamie was at practice with Britton, so I parked illegally threw the flashers on, and I'm running gear up to
like the silent dance part. Like if you're an extra in a movie, there's actually no music playing, but you have to dance.
Yeah, they had headphones on. They give you headphones. And then, like, right in the middle of Fan Fest, they had, like, I don't know, 10, 15 people all dancing. And I got asked a couple of times if I wanted to take part.
And?
I said no.
Okay.
It was really weird.
Locker on the footloose.
Yeah.
Here on the Green Zone.
See, we get Britain to take part in the silent dance party at FanFest tomorrow.
Only if they're playing MGK.